Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, February the 7th, Pope Francis expresses his closeness to the people of Turkey and Syria as they continue to deal with the repercussions of two major earthquakes. Turkey's apostolic vicar speaks about the situation on the ground, and participants in the Continental Assemblies of the Synod in the Czech Republic and Fiji share their thoughts on the ongoing synodal process. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Pope Francis has expressed his closeness to the people of Turkey and Syria as they continue to deal with the repercussions of two major earthquakes. I remain close with all my heart to the peoples affected by the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, the Pope said in a tweet. I will continue to pray for those who have lost their lives, as well as the injured, family members and rescuers, he continued. May our concrete aid sustain them in the midst of this appalling tragedy. The Turkish president has declared the 10 provinces stricken by devastating earthquakes as disaster zones, as the death toll rises above 5,000. Nathan Morley reports.
In a speech carried live on Turkish state television, Mr. Erdogan said that 70 countries had offered help in search and rescue operations and that Turkey planned to open hotels in Antalya to temporarily house people affected by the devastation. According to reports, around 13.5 million people were affected by the earthquake over an area spanning around 450 kilometers. This region is currently enduring freezing temperatures, and aftershocks and damaged roads are hindering efforts to reach and rescue those affected by the quake. Overnight, around 3,000 people sought shelter in unheated railway carriages. Meanwhile, rescuers are rushing to save people trapped under the rubble after thousands of buildings collapsed in both Syria and Turkey. The United Nations says the flow of vital aid into northwest Syria has been temporarily halted due to bad roads and other logistical problems. Aduhait Marshang is from the World Health Organization.
Potentially 23 million people are exposed, including around 5 million vulnerable populations. The movement of aid through the border into northwest Syria is likely to be or is already disrupted due to the damage caused by the earthquake. This in itself would be a huge crisis already.
Also commenting on the same situation, an International Red Crescent official, Masbrik Harsens, said that in Syria, conditions were very difficult.
Here, the humanitarian needs are already high after 12 years of crisis. There is no electricity. There is no fuel. There's very limited access to public services, including health services. There's rising inflation, skyrocketing prices. So we are faced with a population here that has very, very limited resilience to withstand an emergency like the current one.
As the scale of the devastation continues to unfold, the World Health Organization has warned that the number of casualties could surpass 20,000. Meanwhile, international aid is being sent to the region from the United Nations, NATO, the governments of the United Kingdom, India, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, China, Greece, and others. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
As we just heard, the devastation on the ground in Turkey and Syria is immense. In Turkey, the Bishop of Anatolia described similar scenes and the sense of solidarity shown among the people. Francesca Merlo has this report.
The situation following the devastating earthquakes in Syria and Turkey is getting worse and worse. Confirming this on the ground is Bishop Paolo Pizzetti, the Apostolic Vicar of Anatolia in Turkey and the President of Caritas in that area. Bishop Pizzetti confirms reports of people sleeping on the streets in sub-zero temperatures, explaining that even those with shelter have neither electricity nor water. Speaking to the Osservatore Romano's Beatrice Guerrera, Bishop Pizzetti continues saying there's a serious emergency here and that this is far from over, but that despite this, people are uniting in solidarity. Bishop Pizzetti goes into detail about some of the thousands who have been affected by the disaster. Of course, the poorest are the ones who will pay the highest price, he says. The affected area is home to many refugees. Syria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Southern Turkey is full of refugees from various countries who have fled terrible situations. For them, Bishop Pizzetti continues, it's a tragedy within a tragedy. For those who are not refugees, this disaster marks a huge turnaround in their lives. As always in these circumstances, there is a sense of bewilderment, confusion, loss, and what little hope people had seems lost. But the people on the ground are trying to help, continues Bishop Pizzetti. It is difficult to receive the aid necessary given the state of the roads, and we must make sure that we organize the aid properly to avoid what often happens when a lot arrives on the first 2 days, after which you are in a situation of hardship. Thank God, says the prelate, the people are people of faith, and there is a strong sense of being in God's hands. Even yesterday, he concludes, we celebrated the Eucharist. People are praying, and their faith is a great help. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And staying with that story, the Pontifical Mission Societies have launched a fund to offer concrete assistance to people suffering from the effects of these earthquakes. Deborah Castellano-Lobov has this story.
Following the two massive earthquakes which struck southeastern Turkey early on Monday, devastating wide areas in the country and in neighboring Syria, the Pontifical Mission Societies announced their latest initiative to help the earthquake victims. To provide immediate relief to the families that suffered catastrophic loss, the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States has opened the Earthquake Aid for Turkey and Syria Fund. Proceeds from this fund will support missionary priests, religious women, and lay missionaries on the ground, providing assistance to those impacted by the disaster, a disaster that even the Bishop of Aleppo, Syria, Bishop Antoine Auto, described as a tremendous bomb. The U.S. National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies, Monsignor Harrington, noted, while it is too early to know the full extent of the devastation wrought by the earthquake, experience tells us that the days ahead will be critical. Missionaries, he said, are ready to help, noting the National Director in Turkey is already working with local NGOs to ensure that every dollar sent goes directly to those most impacted by this tragedy. The Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States will distribute grants through Catholic dioceses and trusted partner organizations to ensure that the funds fully benefit the immediate and ongoing needs of communities impacted by the devastating event. The death toll has already reached 5,000, with those figures expected to grow significantly. Donations to facilitate pastoral care can be made to the Earthquake Aid for Turkey and Syria Fund on the Pontifical Mission Societies website. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
From this year on, the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church will be celebrating Christmas on December the 25th and not on January the 7th. The change of date is part of a major change decided last week by the Synod of Bishops of the Ukrainian Church, moving away from the Julian calendar, which is presently used almost exclusively by the Russian Orthodox Church. The decision was announced officially on Monday, as Lisa Zingarini reports.
The Synod of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church has decided to move away from the Julian calendar, which will involve changing the dates of several fixed liturgical feasts, including Christmas and the Epiphany. Greek Catholics, however, will continue for now to celebrate Easter on a later date than most of the world's Catholics and Protestant Christians. The governing body of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church decided that the changeover will take force on September the 1st, but has allowed for parishes to transition gradually with permission from their diocesan bishops. The decision was officially announced on Monday by Archbishop Zyatoslav Shevchuk, the head of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, who explained that it was adopted after a vast consultation, which indicated a shift of opinion in favour of the change. Until the Russian invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February 2022, Ukrainian Greek Catholics were divided on the issue. Instead, said Archbishop Shevchuk, the survey showed that more than 90% of Ukrainian Greek Catholics are now supporting the move from the Julian calendar, which many Ukrainians associate with the Russian occupier. Also, the Orthodox Church of Ukraine, or OCU, which obtained autocephaly from the Patriarchate of Constantinople in 2019, is considering the idea of switching to the Gregorian calendar, and Archbishop Shevchuk said that he hopes it will make the switch soon. The OCU is expected to discuss the issue when its bishops gather in May this year. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And in more Ukraine news, Russian shelling has damaged a hospital and apartment buildings in Ukraine, local officials have said. At the same time, military analysts in the West express skepticism about the potential impact of what Kiev says is a brewing Moscow offensive around the anniversary of its invasion. The shelling in the northeastern town of Vovchansk caused multiple fires late on Monday, including in its two-story municipal hospital. Emergency crews evacuated 8 civilians from the site before putting out the blaze, which caused no casualties, authorities said. Vovchansk is in the Kharkiv region, which was occupied by Russia after its full-scale invasion began on February 24th of last year and subsequently retaken by Ukraine following a late summer offensive. The anticipated Russian push may seek to recapture territory Moscow lost in that counteroffensive. Battlefield setbacks in Ukraine have embarrassed the Kremlin, and Russian President Vladimir Putin is seen as keen to cement public support for the war. Ukrainian officials say they expect Russian forces to make a new drive in eastern and southern Ukraine as the Kremlin strives to secure the territory it illegally annexed in late September, and where it claims its rule is welcomed. The European Continental Assembly of the Synod on Solidarity is currently taking place in Prague. Akan Arikoglu, a participant in the meeting who hails from Turkey, shared his thoughts on the synodal process with Vatican Radio.
In my opinion, that is the heart of the church, because when we look at the Book of Acts, we can see the first time the apostles came together and talk about the problems, especially the problems in Antioch, in my country. We saw the pagans became Christian, and they saw some barriers and some problems, and the apostles didn't say, "I know." They say, "Come together, pray to Holy Spirit, then find the solution." And I think now the church try to do same thing. That is the heart of the church for me. It's not a brain, it's a heart. To come together, think, and try to do something.
That was Akan Arikoglu, speaking at the European Continental Assembly of the Synod on Synodality. Now, on the other side of the globe, the Continental Assembly for Oceania is also in full swing. One of the participants there is Bishop Mykola Bychuk, Eparch of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Eparchy of Australia, New Zealand and Oceania. He spoke to Vatican Radio about the experience of the Eastern Catholic Churches in the synodal process.
So synodal process for our church is very important because we are synodal church, as also other Eastern churches. So we have our own synod of the bishops. We have meeting every year. And also we are living like this style of synodal church few decades. So we can actually share our experience of what is happening and what advantages and maybe not too many disadvantages. So we as Ukrainian Catholic Church, we can share experience especially of our church, because as I said, we have synod every year, and we have also every 5 years, like we call in Ukrainian language Sobor, so in English it's like plenary council, where not only bishops, priests, but also lay people. And we have some special topic. We are discussing about this topic. And after that, we have a lot of fruits for Ukrainian church and also for Universal Church.
That was Bishop Mykola Bychuk there, speaking at the Synod Continental Assembly in Oceania. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tarek.